mistakes of the bosses we must pay for. From the cities to the farmlands and trenches full of mud. Cause war has always been the boss's way, sir. Come on!
Yeah, that's what we learned on Tuesday night, that there most certainly is power in the union. Look at the 18th Congressional District out here in Pennsylvania. And, you know, just it's one of those elections where you go, it really was the power of working people that pushed this over the top. And there, no one can deny it. The right wing, they could say, oh, it was a fluke, unique candidates, never happen again. I'm not so sure. And this is the kind of moment, this is one of those moments where, you know, a lot of the folks that I've talked to who are involved in this, you know, first time involved, a long time involved, but this sense of empowerment and this sense of now is time for change. That's why I've asked Nina Esposito Vizquitas to come talk with us. She's the president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, one of the groups instrumental in Tuesday's big win. Nina, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thrilled to be here. It's been a great week.
Am I overstating this? I mean, you know, on the ground, I heard reports from, you know, from people I know who live there, from people who I don't even know, saying, look, they were union members were everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was the beauty of this. Victory does really represent what's possible when union members use their voices for collective political action. Now, I thought it was great.
Now, part of this is, you know, labor has always come out for elections, but there was a special, in my view, a special kind of energy to this one. And I don't know if it was, you know, it was this particular race and it was Connor Lamb who brought them out, or if it was, you know, finally we've had enough of the attacks. The Janus case was just heard. I'm not sure. Any sense in your end?
Well, you know what? I really think, I mean, Connor, I think, ran a great campaign, but I think that Rick Saccone was just such a bad candidate. I mean, he's against everything that unions and workers stand for. You know, just some of the things he has stood for, hurting education, retirement, labor. It was just a perfect storm that people just had enough of the negativity, and they wanted a change, and I think they spoke up beautifully.
So was this? Do you think this was a referendum on Trump? Because, look, you had Saccone who ran out and said, look, I was Trump before Trump.
I know. Oh, my God.
Dumb thing.
Yeah, that's true. That put a death knell for me. But, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think they saw a positivity in Connor's campaign that they did not see. They saw Saccone's record. They saw that Connor was absolutely for public schools, for students, for labor, and I think that health care, and I think his message resonated with people, and they turned away from the negative.
Now, what do you say to the attacks from the far left, that he wasn't, you know, pro-choice enough, he wasn't anti-fracking, he wasn't anti-gun enough? What do you say to those people? Because, you know, there are some who are saying that, you know, maybe the far left is going to harm the Democratic Party. I'm curious your thoughts.
You know what? I feel that he was a perfect candidate for that area because people are looking for a middle ground. I do believe that people are turning away from the far spectrum, and they want people to be able to work together and talk together and talk together about issues and come to a consensus. And I feel Connor Lamb was the best candidate for that because he is a bridge builder. And that's what we need.
Yeah.
We really do. We don't need polarization anymore. We need bridge builders.
Yeah, we need to figure out how to get out of this moment that we're in, because the pendulum keeps swinging. And this is my problem. When you have it, the pendulum swinging far one side or even far to the other side, it ends up tearing us apart instead of figuring out how we solve problems. And then we end up in this era where nothing gets done.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think that was so key in his message. I really do. He was not far. I mean, he was, as I said, he's a bridge builder. He gets it, and he's willing to work with people, not against them. And I think that's key.
Yeah. And now, you know, for me, you know, part of what's been going on is I see this energy across the country. And in your district, that district out there just highlighted the fact that there are now people who maybe have never been involved in the political process stepping forward and stepping out into the streets. And we're seeing activism in places like West Virginia and Oklahoma and Kentucky, all across this country, of people who were never involved before. Do you think we're at a critical, we're at this moment now where people have finally said, you know what, enough, we got to take things over, we the people?
Yes, I absolutely, and I think it's about time. I'm really glad that people are finding their voices. I'm really proud of what the teachers in West Virginia have done, even though I think they deserve much more than what they got, but I'm really proud of them. I think for people that we had never seen work on campaigns before, wrote postcards, knocked on doors, made phone calls, sent text messages, they talked about labor to labor, about issues that we care about, and I see, and that's great. We see our kids standing up. We have a busload of kids going to D.C. next week. I think it's great that people are finally realizing that their voice truly does matter and that we need all voices in this.
What do you say to the person who goes, you know, Nina, this is just the leftward version of the Tea Party, and it'll eventually fizzle out? I'm curious your thought.
No, I disagree with that. As I said, I saw more people involved and interested in this than I had seen people ignited for a long time. And I think it is the start of the movement. I think people are going to reject the pollers and realize that that's not the way to get things done. People are anxious now. They're tired of talk. They're tired of rhetoric. They're tired of the ends of things. They want people to come together and get something done. And I think that's what we have to do for education, for labor, health care, everything.
No, I mean, when you talk to the average person, you know, once you get past the, you know, my team is the Democrats or my team is the Republicans, and you really talk, you know, brass tacks, you talk about, you know, what is important. You talk about health care, you talk about infrastructure, you talk about education, you talk about those things. I think the vast majority of people in this country agree on where we need to go. There are some who say we differ on the paths we should take, but ultimately I think we all agree that we want good, solid public schools so that all kids have an opportunity. We want people to be able to go see a doctor when they're sick. We want good quality jobs. It just seems that, you know, we all agree, but we've been, for one way or another, pitted against one another. And I'm hoping there's this pulling back to somewhere of a moment of sanity that I remember as a kid, but I'm just... While I'm hopeful, I'm just not. I'm not there yet.
Well, okay. You know what? I am hopeful. I guess you know what. And once again, I was right in the middle of all this, so it did give me a spark to see that people are committed to working together to get their voices heard and to get something done. You know, to get something done. I know the PFT is committed to using this momentum to elect our allies up and down the ballot come November, and I think that's exciting.
And November is the important time because, look, I've been saying for, you know, quite some time, this November is going to be the election of our lifetimes.
I agree.
And I don't like to sound hyperbolic when I say that. But, you know, the reality is if there aren't some checks on this administration, if there isn't some balance, you know, what we're seeing happening with the courts, what we're seeing with tax policy, what we're seeing with deregulation, all of this stuff is going to be, you know, at least a generation, if not two generations, to undo.
Right. I you're absolutely right. And I'm glad that people are stepping up and not just lying down and giving up. They're stepping up to take a role in it.
Now, I understand your union, and I remember last time we had you on, there was a vote for a strike authorization. You guys were in the middle of a very long contract discussion. And I understand you've come to some agreement, and that's a good thing. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, sure. We do have three tentative agreements. We had a few glitches in the health care that we're trying to work through now, so we're going to get the ballots out to members next week, and we're hoping for a positive outcome. We hope our members are happy with it.
Yeah, because I had some friends in West Virginia going, you know, West Virginia, they shut down the entire state, all 55 counties, every school, some 270,000 kids out of school. And the heel goes, when's Pennsylvania going to do that? And I go, well, Pennsylvania's a little different state. They bargain
true individually,
not with the state legislature.
Very true. That's right. They have a whole different situation. I wish they had many of the advantages we have up in here in Pennsylvania. Maybe they'll work on getting some of those because they certainly help us.
But, you know, I look at all of this activism, especially amongst teachers. And we've had, you know, we get teachers on the program all the time, you know, talking about, you know, they just want to go to the classroom and do the things that they love, and that's teach children and hone their skills and all of that. But yet we're in a moment where, you know, it's the teachers who have been under attack for so long who have finally, and unfortunately on one hand, have said enough. And we're seeing, especially among teachers, the level of activism going through the roof.
Absolutely. Teachers have always been a very active group. I think that's why I've always been drawn to teachers and why I became one. A very group of activists, but we're really seeing a lot of interest where they're saying, no, this is wrong. We're willing to work to change it, and I find that very heartening and satisfying.
Now, well, let me ask you the other part of this, because there's a lot of nonsense going on. I know we just had a walkout across the country. You know, well over a million students across this country walked out for 17 minutes. On the 24th of March, there's going to be a massive march. Some are telling me probably bigger than the Women's March. And it all comes around to keeping kids safe in schools.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on the idea of arming teachers. Because, you know, it's my view, and you can share yours in a minute. It's my view this is a distraction. This isn't really a solution. This is to get us to argue about something other than the fact that, you know, having these war weapons in civilian hands is a bad idea. But I'm curious your thoughts.
Absolutely. I would take it from our AFT president. I'm stealing a quote from her because it's one of my favorites. That is absolutely one of the worst ideas in a long, long list of bad ideas. Would be arming teachers. Ridiculous. There are so many reasons not to do it. But you interest me in your idea that it's a distraction. That could very well be. It's not just bad policy, but it's a distraction piece also. Because no one could honestly think that a teacher, with everything they have to do, would have to be trained as a shooter also. I mean, it's almost ludicrous to even think of. It's ludicrous.
No, I mean, you know, I'd read a really well thought out, extremely well thought out thread on Twitter, of, you know, a soldier, he trained people to kill, and he said, you know, how are you going to get teachers in the mindset to train to while educating and be loving and nurturing and all this, and then train them to be killers? We train soldiers for years to be able to kill the enemy. How are you going to train someone to love and nurture a child and help them along, and then be able to simultaneously train to possibly have to kill one of them?
You know what? You're absolutely right. And alongside of that, just think about how the marksmen are trained and they have to be retrained. Police officers, whoever with a gun, has to be retrained every year. Teachers have enough trouble getting in their PD hours for all the changes in curriculum and all the changes in schools, and now they're going to have training on gun handling, too. It's beyond my mind to even think of. I, as Randy said, it's the worst idea in a list of really bad ideas.
But you might get, according to Donald Trump, like an extra grand, an extra $1,000.
Wow, no, not worth it. Not even worth it to put the kids and teachers in. I mean, you know how people are trained. Your whole mind has to be in that mindset. Teachers are thinking about kids, learning, moving kids ahead, curriculum. We're not, it's like you said, we're not putting them in the mindset to be a killer.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, at the end of this, if we've got all this money to buy guns for teachers and to train them, maybe we could buy pencils and paper and, desks and computers and, librarians and nurses and roofs that don't leak. And maybe we could do some of that stuff.
Oh, I could give you a list for my teachers of all the support they're looking for. The money could be much better spent to support teachers, support kids, support families. I'm with you.
And maybe we could have some mental health professionals to maybe identify some of those kids who may be on the fringe or may be at a point where maybe they could become one of these shooters.
Absolutely. You've got it. We need the supports in our schools to raise all of our kids to be productive and happier citizens.
See, but here again, it's much easier to debate about should we or should we not arm teachers.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You're right. Your idea of being a distraction is a very interesting one.
Yeah, we're like kittens chasing the string.
Uh-huh.
Last question I've got for you, because, you know, we are at this moment, and November being such a big election this year. What advice do you give to your teachers? What do you want them to be doing in this next election? What are you hoping for?
Oh, absolutely. We want them to be aware. We want them to join in the political action. We have political action committees. We have things going on here. We already have, we're doing endorsements of candidates. There's so many ways for them to get involved. A little involved, even writing a check, is great involvement. to a candidate that that they endorse. So really, I would ask them to be involved, even in one thing. I know how busy teachers are, believe me. Nobody knows better. But if they could find something, and I think they'll be surprised and pleased about how exciting it is to them also.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this moment of, you know, I'm hoping we're at this moment, you know, much like my grandparents talked about when they saw the mobilization that built the largest and most prosperous working class in the history of civilization, as workers came together, as people came together and fought for, you know, better wages, hours, conditions, yes, but also a better society.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Yes. Nina, I appreciate the time. Great talking with you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much. Call anytime.
Thanks so much. Nina Esposito-Vizquitas, president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers. Love to hear your thoughts. Is it a distraction? Do you think the gun issue is just a distraction like I do? On the teacher front, or is this real serious policy? Love to hear it. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The sky, and we're always last when the crowd.